Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Maria DeMars.
And our guest today was Mr. Universe, the Incredible Hulk, actor, upcoming contestant of Battle of the Network Stars, super interesting guest. We are so excited to have Lou Ferrigno in the More Than Ordinary studio.
How are you? You're going to be at a good time. Good, I'm traveling so much, and funny, I live down the street somewhere, but I've got a chance to do this interview with, you know, I heard about you through Fairfax Hackley. Yeah, because about a year ago, you received the award of the Arnold Classic.
Yes, at the International Sports Hall of Fame. Yeah. That was great. And you were inducted this year, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. It was fun.
Who did you bring as your date? I brought my daughter, who was 18 years old then. Did you bring your wife?
No. She couldn't make it because of the fact that we had some stuff going on with the family events. So I just flew there. I just met a friend of mine. But it was fun because she attended before.
So we wanted to get right into it. You know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about people who are succeeding. I mean, we talk more than ordinary because we think a lot of people have the potential to be more than ordinary. But some people just don't, whether they don't think they can be or they don't want to put in the effort or what it is. You know, you have overcome a lot, you know. And one of the things that we were talking about is, why is it, do you think you succeeded?
Why? Because I never felt sorry for myself because I had a bad relationship with my father. So basically, I knew that no one can do anything for me because my whole life was about overcoming adversity. Because close to birth, I've lost like 75%, 80% of my hearing. And being introverted and unable to speak clearly, I was labeled as a deaf mute. They called me Deaf Louie. So apparently I became a fighter. And I felt that the only person who could help myself is myself. So I always wanted to take action for myself because I knew if I didn't, nobody else could take action for me. So that got me involved. When I was a kid, I was a real-life Walter Mitty. I had to read Hulk comic books, Superman comic books, because I was obsessed with power. And it was an escape for me and made me feel good about myself. So that led to into bodybuilding and fitness, because I felt that if I built a strong, powerful body, nobody could beat me up or pick on me. So I chose that direction. That was my platform to survive. And what's interesting is because if I haven't done that, I would have done bad things in my life.
And when you were a kid, you know, I mean, education, especially special education for kids who are hearing impaired and things, was very different. You know, what were some of the challenges that you faced? Especially, we talk a lot about schools because we work with schools and kids. What were some of the challenges you faced in school that kind of set up that success?
Well, that's a great question because when I was young, I think about the fourth or fifth grade, they told me, I went to Catholic school, parochial school, and they told me I needed to go for the school for the deaf because every time the teacher would talk to me, I would look at the student behind me because I thought that maybe he was talking to someone else. So at the time, my father said, it's not going to happen. So we went back to class and we confronted the teacher because I convinced a lot of people that that maybe I had a speech problem, but I didn't have a hearing problem because I didn't want people to feel sorry for me. So what happened, they put me in the first row in front of the classroom, maybe 3 feet from the blackboard, right in front of the teacher. And from that point on, I learned to succeed because when I was sitting in the back, I would miss all the classwork. And then I would fail on my grades. So I forced myself to be more attentive compared to other kids in the class. I just had to work harder to succeed. So throughout school or throughout high school, I had to make it known about what I was going through, the problem I had, so make sure that that the teacher would face me all the time. Because sometimes when the teacher turned to face the blackboard, I wouldn't understand. I'd be too shy to raise my hand. But then I knew that if I don't take action, I'm going to get left back. I'm going to get thrown out of school. So for that point, taking action, and that's an important thing for other kids. Like, don't be ashamed of yourself. Basically, take action because it's important to have your teacher know if you have some kind of a handicap, regardless if you have an eye problem or mental illness, whatever.
I'm going to ask one of those what Maria calls story questions, where it's a story about you, but it ends in a question. But I really am interested in the question. Okay. So I was listening to you. When I was a kid, I have really, really, really bad eyesight. And so when the teacher wrote on the board, I had no idea. I thought the teacher just wrote notes up there to remind herself, right? I didn't realize the other kids could see it. And when I would be writing, I would lay my face on the table so I could see the paper. And So finally, when I got screened for vision, probably about the third or fourth grade, my parents felt really bad. The teachers felt really bad. They said they had no idea that I couldn't see it. My mom said, "Why didn't you say anything?" And I didn't know that other kids could see the board, and I didn't know other kids could see the paper. So my question is, when you were little, did you know that other kids could hear better than you?
Yes, but I just wish I had hearing like them. But what happened, I would daydream a lot. To go through the motion, be in the class, waiting for the class bell to ring, and then go to the next class, because I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid of being rejected. I would be labeled a freak. So I knew other kids had hearing. It's amazing how someone could sit there and just hear. Like, for example, I would see some classmates, they were almost like looking at a comic book, and they could absorb what's going on in the class. We have to really focus and pay attention. But other people, it's amazing when they're natural hearing. It's just always a breeze for them. So for me, I just had to work harder. But over time, I just learned to realize that the fact that I had to do something about it. It's interesting. But you know, it's a good thing, because people that have a hearing problem listen better. Most people have a perfect hearing and don't listen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So most people can't listen. You talk to them, they're probably thinking or talking about something else. But when someone has a hearing problem, it's a gift, because in a way, it makes you look at the person while they're speaking.
Well, and I think I was reading that you got picked on a lot in school. Is that what happened? And then is that how you ended up in bodybuilding? You were talking about, you know, you wanted to, were you getting in fights? Or how did you make that transition then from, you know, the kid at school to this huge successful bodybuilder? And
kind of what happened though, when I was young, I had an old-fashioned hearing aid, the strap around the chest, and I had the a box on my chest, and I had the wire go all the way to see the button sticking out of my ear. So kids would be mean. These children do not have the psychological defenses to defend themselves. So kids would be mean. They would punch me in the chest, so to be mean. Sometimes my hearing aid wouldn't work, and I'd be upset. So I became a fighter. So like I mentioned before, you know, reading this comic book, I just knew the only thing that would save me would be power. So I decided to get into bodybuilding because I saw some muscle magazine. I went to the movies one time and I saw this guy, Steve Reeves, who played Hercules. And I saw him standing between these two pillows, and he had his whole body spread out and pulled the chain. And that was it. That changed my life. I said, that's what I want to be.
Oh, I love those Hercules movies when I was a kid. Me and my brothers used to watch them all the time.
And as a matter of fact, I played Hercules in 1982.
What?
Yep.
See, Maria knows all these things.
Exactly.
And what was it like? I would say, I mean, we're kind of to come full circle and to have watched those movies and then to be playing that role.
Well, I had a lot of dreams when I was young, and all my dreams came true. Like, I've always wanted to be the Incredible Hulk. I wanted to play Hercules. I wanted to become a deputy sheriff. I wanted to be a worldwide speaker because I couldn't speak in front of people. And now I'm a worldwide speaker. I speak all over the world, talking about overcoming fear and maximizing your personal power. But it's funny that I have a lot of dreams. Every one of my dreams come true. Because I'm a fighter, I'm a warrior, and nothing stops me.
I think that's a really important point, even though we're not to the tip section yet, where I think about that sometimes. Like when I was at the Hall of Fame a couple years ago, one of the things I said is everybody who gets to be a world champion, you know, that's an insane idea. Like you are Mr. Universe, be best in the world at something. If you went on the bus and you said, I'm better than everybody in the world, people would just think you're crazy, right? It's an insane idea. Or, you know, and you, on top of that, being a movie star and all that, it's crazy. You have your dreams come true, and so few people have that happen. And yet, you know, I talk about the Hollywood people, which I would say you are an exception of, but you see a lot of people around who they do have all their dreams come true, and yet they crash and burn. You know, instead of waking up every day and saying, oh my God, this is amazing. We're in Santa Monica on the 12th floor overlooking the ocean, you know, sitting here with somebody really famous, or in our case, not as famous, but really awesome, right, Maria? And yet we see so many people like that, and they're basket cases. I mean, why are you, like, I know what Maria wrote down, one of the things we're most impressed about, you've been married 37 years. Why do some people succeed like you and others just are, you know, on the front page of the National Enquirer for their fourth visit to rehab? What's the difference?
Well, before I answer the question, you guys are cute together, mother and daughter. It's really nice to see how you're close with mother and daughter. I admire that because great traditional family value. Anyway, I don't have an ego. I don't believe anybody's better than anybody. I don't give a rat's ass on how much money you have or about it. I judge people for who they are. And myself, I'm very true and honest because I was raised in a way that had traditional family value. Family's everything. That's first. Everything is secondary. The reason why I've been married 37 years because we have open communication and honesty, because other people can't be honest with themselves. And now, getting back to the question you mentioned, I think you and I, because in life we get to love pain. I love pain because I'm able to go beyond the pain barrier to be a champion, like someone like yourself. When you're fighting in a tournament and you have some kind of a pain, that's not going to stop you. Other people get afraid, but you got to go beyond that pain barrier. And knowing all about the mind, that vision, nothing will stop me. And you have to do what it takes to be successful. And that's why in my situation, I felt like I always believe giving 110%, nothing will stop me, because I'm a big believer. And I want to, with the day come when I'm 85 and look back and say, I should have. It's too late. So I look back right now, there's not one thing I don't regret.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the same thing. I mean, there's lots of times, you know, I would like to live to be 197, but really, if I keeled over right now, I'm not likely to. But if I did, it's been a good run. You know, I got to get a doctorate and found multiple companies and have amazing, amazing children, mm-hmm. get married, you know. It's been a good run.
Yeah, as long as you're happy with yourself.
I'm hoping not to keel over for a while.
We'll be right back.
You know how sometimes you have an idea of how you want something done? Like how you would have your living room decorated, your closet organized, or whatever. But you just haven't had the time to get around to it because the way it is right now is passable and it works. But in the back of your head, you know it could be better someday. Well, for Spirit Lake the Game, someday is today. At 7 Generation Games, we've rolled out a major update of our very first game. We've kept the parts that were already great and enhanced those areas where we saw potential for enhancements to give you a new version of the game that we know kids will love even more than the original. If you already have Spirit Lake, check your email for the update notification. If you don't have Spirit Lake, well, what are you waiting for? Get it today.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by 7 Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeMars.
And with us today, if you missed the first half, I don't know how, because it's a podcast, we have...
Lofa Rickno.
So on the break, I was asking you about your children and if they were spoiled or not, and you were telling me about all the amazing stuff your kids are doing.
Well, my kids are all driven, and they're not spoiled because I taught them great work ethic. And I taught them to, you know, to save their money, because even though they're being a celebrity, they're not going to grow up on a silver platter. So like my son, my middle son, you know, he's filming two different TV series, and he came up with the idea for me, called what you call the Ferrigno Legacy. It's a big bodybuilding, fitness, physique, bikini competition in Palm Springs. We have the strongman competition. We have also the powerlifting. So that's his project.
Is it the same time every year?
Yes.
I like Palm Springs.
What is November 18, 19 at the Aqua Clarence Hotel. Last year we had 265 women competing. It's the best show on the West Coast. So I want to be like the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic on the West Coast. And then my daughter, she came up with the idea of how would you call it, ferrignofit.com. It's the website. It teaches you how to become your own personal trainer. Any meal, all kinds of meal, any age, any type. And she came out with a great book called The Reset Plan. And in the book, the best book I've read about nutrition, about mental health. But it's funny, when I read the book for the first time, she talked about me when I was competing, how difficult it was, you know, in being in that situation. So that's why you got to be nice to your kid. You never know.
I know. She wrote My Fight, Your Fight with Rhonda. And there are still parts about it. I'm like, But, you know, people have different perspectives. So yeah. I'm sure your kids' perspectives on you when they were young and your perspectives on yourself when they were young are probably a little different.
Oh, definitely, because a lot of kids today, it's all about entitlement. Like when I was raised, I was poor. Like when I was a kid, I couldn't afford weights. You know what I did? I got cement pails. I filled with cement. I put a broomstick and made my own barbells because I couldn't afford weights. I came from nothing. So it's funny, today is so different because there's a gym around every corner. But that's when I was young. I had to improvise. Everything was makeshift for me. So I started working when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, it's funny. My brother and I, we both did judo when we were like 12, 13, 14 years old. And we had an old garage in the back that had boards falling down. So it wasn't safe to park the car in. And it had garbage thrown in it, right? Including like an old mattress. And so you might think it looked like, you know, we lived in this broken down house and we had a garage that had boards. But we would go in the back and throw each other on the mattress, right? We thought that was a lot of fun. Wow. And so now...
I bet it was unique for you, because in your time, I mean, who would think of a girl like you, involved in Judith kind of stuff, because everybody back then probably barefoot and pregnant, the typical housewife.
Well, I think I was fortunate, too, that I had a bunch of brothers. And I would not say that I was fortunate. My brothers were always trying to beat me up, but, you know, they were brothers.
Not slowing down was something we were talking about. You know, I mean, looking at your career, it has been, you know, and a lot of times I was saying you look at actors and kind of go through their credits and things, and it's been like they did a thing here and something there and a couple years later. But, you know, going through your IMDb page, basically you've been working nonstop plus doing all these other things that you're doing. And what do you credit that to?
I credit it to passion. My passion is that I love competing with myself. I love maximizing what I can do. Like, for example, I just finished a big comedy in England. I was there for like a month called Persians of Throne, the comedy of Game of Thrones. So I got four films coming out. As a matter of fact, the film just came out called Instant Death. It's a martial arts action film. So it's called Instant Death, like the remake of Death Wish. But I'm just passionate because I train every day. I work out. I watch what I eat. And I'm passionate because I love competing with myself, combining the mind with the body. That keeps me young. That keeps me excited because I don't have an age factor thinking that you go along with, as you get older. Like, for example, they say my age is time to be a grandpa, to have grandchildren and everything. I don't have a grandchildren, but I still feel like I'm 25 inside of myself because I'm a vicious. I'm probably the most competitive human being you ever met in your life.
I have runner-up right here, or at least your contender here.
Well, I'm a Scorpio, so.
Well, I saw these pictures of you and Rhonda, and I thought, wow, he must be a lot younger than I thought. So, I was...
Aren't you glad you're younger than I am?
No, because I did. I saw those pictures, and I thought, well, I must have really been wrong, because I thought he was on TV when I was a kid. I must be wrong about that. So, yeah, obviously all the competing and all that pays off. See, I took a very different track than you. I won the world championships at 26, and now, I mean, I teach judo, and, you know, I try not to get hugely overweight or that.
You still teach?
I teach once a week on Fridays down South Los Angeles.
But how often do you practice? I mean,
no, that's it. I run a software company, and, you know, you do a startup, and it takes sucks up your whole life.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I wrote a blog about that recently, about leaving everything on the field. You know, when I was competing, like you, I had my knee replaced, I've had my thumb replaced, I had so many injuries, and there were so many things I wanted to do in addition to win. You know, I got a doctorate, I wrote scientific articles, and I wanted to start this company. And really, you know, I talked to the kids today that we met about this and said, the reason I'm not in prison right now is I was good at math. I mean, I was good at fighting, but I was good at math. I got a scholarship to college, and it changed my whole life. And I have friends who, you know, are on their third strike, or who, you know, died in, you know, over drug deals. And so I wanted to do other things. And even though you're still competing, it looks like you're doing those other things. You're building up those, like, that legacy for other people to compete and giving other opportunities.
Giving back. Like, what's interesting, because when I was young, you probably could relate to me, I had a tendency to transfer my anger because when I was born, I was not the perfect son. My father rejected me. I had a bad relationship with him. So I carried his pain, his burden, so I would do a transfer my anger. And then it got to a point where I got involved in bodybuilding, fitness, I would take that anger out in the gym. I'm sure yourself, because if you didn't have that, you and I think we'd probably be dead because, you know, I could have done bad things because I had tremendous anger. It's like the Hulk. So I've learned to channel myself. So now, you know, I'm giving back because, you know, I've been a police officer. I've been a deputy sheriff for the last 12 years. I went through the academy. So I know what it's like to give back to people, to help people. But when I was young growing up, I didn't have anybody to help me. Nobody pat me on the back. So, you know, I would watch movies, read books, but I never had the chance to meet people. Like, go to a convention or competition and say, hey, I feel important. I shake the celebrity hand. You know, you had to make that personal connection. But in my time, I didn't have that.
And I really like that. I like people who, like you said, don't feel like they're better than. Like, we were in Las Vegas one time, and they Zion's Energy Drink had a contest, and so the winners got to meet Rhonda, and they said they were going to do a meet and greet. Well, if you're going to meet me, I would say come have lunch. I thought that's how you did those things. So these people show up, and we have beer, and we have lunch. Right. And I guess that's not how meet and greets with celebrities normally go, but they do with our family. And I think there's something to, no matter how successful you get, to realize that you're just another person, and you got to be that success because along the way, you got some breaks. You know, and partly you got breaks because, okay, maybe you're hearing impaired, but look at you. You're an amazing athlete. And you obviously, yes, you worked hard and you did a lot, but you obviously have a lot of physical ability you were born with. You know, and that kid that has, you know, cerebral palsy or other things, no matter how hard they work, they're never going to be you. Right. So I try to appreciate that.
Well, it was funny that I would say if I didn't have, if I had perfect hearing, I would be at what I am now.
It's true. I mentioned that to Rhonda the other day because I blew my knee out when I was a teenager. And I said, so I always had to do mat work and arm bars. And I got really good at that. And I remember talking to Rhonda, I would always say, oh, you know, if I hadn't hurt my knee, maybe I would have won the world championships 2 or 3 times.
Wow.
And she'd say, you know what, Mom? Or maybe you would have been just kind of good. You know, you wouldn't have had to develop those other things.
Yeah, but I think your mind, I think Rhonda being a world champion, but from talking to you, I think your mind is more fierce. Other words that I think, how should I put it? I think if you were in Rhonda's shoes right now and her competitive spirit, I think would have been probably much more advanced because where you came from, like Rhonda being a fighter, being a phenomenal fighter, but I think because you have more anger in yourself, you had to be more of a survivor compared to what she had to survive because she having a mom like you. But like you, when you came from, you didn't have like a mother like yourself, so you had to be more of a fighter.
I think the difference is you and I were trying to prove people wrong, but sometimes there are people like Rhonda and probably your kids that are trying to prove people right.
Right.
That's good too, though.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about not just being about yourself, and you are involved in a lot of causes. What are some of the ones that are most important to you, and why?
Well, I've done a lot of work with the hard of hearing, the deaf, and also I do a lot of work with muscular dystrophy, ALS, because I've always learned that my mother always told me, she said, you wake up every day and be thankful to have your health because your health is your greatest wealth. If you look at the past month or so, a lot of people have been passing on. You know, pancreatic cancer, about this, and you have to enjoy every day. Don't wait till, like, for example, I saw a video, I don't know if you've seen it, about Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. He's had a video, and he said, right now, I'm looking at this machine, got all these green lights, I'm in the hospital dying of pancreatic cancer. But he said, I've learned to achieve the epitome of wealth. But if I put the clock back, I should have spent more time in relationship with my family and my children, because you can't take the money with you. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important to value every day. I mean, you're never going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but people know perspective. They think the money is the answer. They think that that's going to be like a feather in their cap. No money could be the answer to everything. It isn't.
I see, you're way smarter than me because it took me a long time to figure that out. Yeah, I think this year, like I always said, I want to go to Belize. I always said I want to go to Trinidad and Tobago and visit family there. And this year I finally realized, you know, there's never going to be a day when all of the work is done, when I could say, my work here is done, I can take off. So no, Marie and I just went to Belize in January. You know, Dennis and Julie and I went to Trinidad, Tobago in March.
Good for you.
Because, you know, and now too, it seems like, you know, her daughter, Ava, will call up and say, what are you doing? Well, the truth is I'm always doing something, but I would say, come on over. You know, same thing. Rhonda said, oh, I'm doing Battle of Network Stars. You and Julie want to come up. And I thought, I really don't have time to take the day off. But Rhonda mentioned something to me one time about how, you know, Mom, you're always like working on this grant or working on that grant. You know, if I'm getting an award or where, you know, Maria's getting an award or something, is that one day really going to make a difference of you working on that project or that game? And I thought, you know what? She's right. And yeah, Julie and I went up to Malibu and watched the show. I haven't laughed so hard in years. So I don't know what the episode you were on was like, but the one I saw, it was amazing. So. Yeah, it's you take time to appreciate that everything can't be, I got to get one more checkbox and one more IMDb listing or whatever it is.
But what's interesting about this time, the Battle of the Network Stars, because the people on my team, you know, they're much older, like Fred Dreyer, you had like Kevin Sorbo. It's all about maturity because when I was 25, 26, you have a different perspective. Like you want to win, it's all about getting some recognition. But it was more of a mature, otherwise we had more fun. We enjoy ourselves more. It was so different, brilliant, because you have a lot more camaraderie.
And one thing that I wonder about just in talking to you is it seems like you never feel like, okay, I've, you know, like you're talking about, I'm done. Everything I want to do is accomplished. What is your next goal? And how do you keep setting what that next goal ends up being?
My next goal is I want to have a TV series. I've done 4 TV series. I've done over 40 films. I could be home more because I travel a lot. I do a lot of speaking. And it's kind of hard because I'm away from the family a lot. You know, you're traveling, especially when you're flying a plane. Who's throwing the luggage here? All the delays, the storm. you know, you're getting stuck in airport, people being rude, all that kind of stuff. And then you got to deal with your biological clock. Life is there, but I was in London 2 weeks ago. And then just before I'm leaving, there are a bunch of people running around with machetes, you know, attacking people. And it's just because right now this world is in a difficult situation, because especially with Homeland Security. So it's tough. But I'd like to spend more time home.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that kids on average lose 2.5 months of math skills over the summer? That means that when they go back to school this fall, it's almost like everything they learned in math since mid-March never happened. Seventh Generation Games can help. Combining adventure gaming and math, our games are the perfect way to keep kids' math skills up to date. It's not flashcards or worksheets, but 3D video games and engaging apps that kids actually want to play, even when they're on summer break. Check us out at 7GenerationGames.com.
Now comes to everybody's favorite part of the podcast, and that is where we ask our guests to give a tip. It could be on anything. It could be on careers, goal setting, being a father, anything that you would like.
Eat right, sleep right, and train right. It's very simple. What I mean by that is, like, here's a perfect example. I have a great statement. This would go for everybody when it comes to working out, fitness. You can do all the crunches from the womb to the tomb, but in order to lose the fat, you must control the fork and spoon.
Very good.
And that's my best advice. Advice I can give to everyone, because it's not just when you have yourself mentally, it's also physically. Because if you don't take care of yourself physically, you're not going to feel good about yourself. That's why it comes down to relationship. Like, for example, life. Like, for example, if you don't take care of yourself, then you deal with obesity. Like, the more people now, they just prove today that people that sit more than most people, that's worse than obesity. You know what I'm saying? There's no excuse. You got, like, a knee replaced, you get in a wheelchair, you have to have some kind of a physical activity. Because if you don't have that positive attitude about yourself, that can affect everything else.
My physical activity is running after 3 small children. Does that count?
I'm sure you do a lot of running and chasing them.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
It was great.
Right. Thank you. So if you like our podcast, which of course you do, you should subscribe. Leave us a great review on the App Store, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are heard. And don't forget to check out Battle of the Network Stars. Starts June 29th. Props to Lou Ferrigno and my lovely daughter, Rhonda.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7GenerationGames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, GenerationGames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7GenerationGames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.